Morning.
Good morning.
David, I didn't get any more announcements, so I think you did a fine job. I do want to say something about those that do our announcements. We really do appreciate those who get up here and have learned and do the announcement for us. All of our young men do such a good job, and so does David. So, you knew that was coming. Okay, let's turn to, if you will, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." You know, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that God is God and we're not. You know, we live in a me-centric society where everybody thinks that the world revolves around them. Back in Judges chapter 17, verse 6, and this is not the only time this statement is made, is a good description of what's going on in our world today. It says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." You know, there are a lot of people out there that don't recognize God as their king, so they just do what they want to do. There's some people that do recognize God as who He says He is, but they don't care what He has to say about it, so there's no consequence to their behavior. You know, people sometimes use the word ungodly to talk about terrible, immoral behavior, but it's a worse word than that. The psalmist in 36:1 wrote, "Concerning the transgression of the wicked, there is no fear of God before His eyes." An ungodly person is one who has no fear or respect for God at all. When people throw God out of their hearts and out of their lives, they live wicked lives that hurts everybody about them and themselves. Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now, what does it mean to deny self and follow Jesus? He's not asking us to do something crazy like take a vow of silence or sit on a flagpole. Instead, it's much more basic than that. He's asking us to give him our hearts, our minds, and our lives to do what he expects of us rather than what we by human nature would ordinarily do. Selfishness has brought into this world some of its worst problems and terrible miseries. It destroys us inside and out. And so much of the problems in our nation, in our homes, in our communities, in our families are brought on by selfishness. Husbands and wives who are selfish destroy their marriage. Parents who are selfish end up ruining their children's lives. God doesn't call us to live selfish lives because selfishness leads to sin and sorrow. And so many sins, almost all of them, if not all of them, begin with selfishness. In James chapter 1, James wrote, "Let no one say when he's tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." While we might want to please ourselves, it draws us away from God. It draws us away from holy living. And it takes us into things that'll end up ruining us. How do we value God and put selves later is what we're going to look at this morning. we're going to look at four points of view that have to do with denying self. But before I get to that, I want to state one statement from Paul in Galatians chapter 20. He said, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me." That's what denying self has to do with. Why should we deny self? Well, the first thing we need to understand is that denying self creates happiness. When we deny ourselves and crucify ourselves with Jesus, we can really start living the abundant life filled with love and hope. A lot of people cheat themselves out of this abundant life by being self-centered. They fall into a destructive pattern of trying to satisfy the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. John wrote in 1 John 2:17 through 19, "The world's passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." When you deny yourself, you take yourself away from the world's empty promises. When people focus on themselves, they breed selfishness, covetousness, and envy. We have a tendency to want what somebody else has. That television commercial appeals to us, even if we can't afford it. The last of the Ten Commandments is about covetousness. And I've heard people say that maybe it was put there because it's not as important as the other Ten Commandments, but I've heard other people say, and I kind of agree with it, although we don't live under the Ten Commandments today, is that maybe it's last because it has a little bit of itself in every other one of the Ten Commandments. "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, his female servant, nor his ox, his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor." Denying self means being happy with whatever it is that you have that God's given you. You remember Paul said, "I've learned to be content regardless of the circumstances." True Christians never try to get what belongs to other people. False Christians might, but real Christians know that there's no happiness in that. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these things we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Some people think that the way to happiness is by getting more and more money and stuff and property and things that you can cram into your house. But things are just temporary. Jesus said that the way to happiness is to store up treasures in heaven rather than here on earth. Because you can't take the stuff here on earth with you. Only the things that are stored up in heaven. Second, denying self leads to repentance. Repentance is a change of life which leads to a change of action. While many people are at times willing to confess their sins, very few see the seriousness of their sins. James wrote, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom." Repentance is sorrow over the past while deciding to do differently in the future. Repentance means never seeing the sin again the same way. It's no longer a pleasure, but a tragedy for God and for me. Paul said, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." We have to remember that every sin we commit, even because we have a tendency to categorize them, even those little bitty sins help to send Jesus to the cross. Paul wrote, "Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." So we can't continue in sin and expect to spend eternity in heaven with God. I have to change my attitude, my life, my lifestyle, and my actions. Paul wrote in Colossians 3, 5 through 7, "Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them." We have to do more than just not sin. We have to be dead to sin. So I have to die to my own life, old life, and have to put on Jesus so that I can start living His life. Next, denying self makes the spiritual more important than the physical. If you belong to Jesus, then you'll march to a different drummer than the rest of the world marches to. You'll see life through the eyes of eternity rather than the way society does. You'll value what God does rather than what the world does. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, there's a good example in the New Testament, at least it's recorded there, of a man who could have had everything. He could have had everything. He was the grandson of the king. And you know that old saying, it's good to be the king, but maybe it's better to be the grandson of the king. This is recorded in Hebrews 11:26, written about someone who lived thousands of years before. "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Now, it would have been good to have been the grandson of the king. And how many people in this world today would have swapped places with Moses just like that? But Moses saw there was something more important than great riches and being the grandson of the king. You know, it's sad that so many Christians get caught up with hobbies and sports and pastime activities that they don't have as much room left in their life for God. Yet for them, God is a part-time operation, and everything else kind of crowds Him out. When they get busy, they're just not here on Sunday or Sunday evening or on Wednesday. They're sort of like the thorny soil in the parable of the sower, which is described as these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. There's no room for God in their lives. What about you? Finally, denying self isn't the same as showing your righteousness to others. You know, there are a lot of things that are creeping into services of the church, and I speak of the word church in its broadest sense. You know, there's entertainment, there's musical instruments, there are bands, there are concerts. You know, all of these things, none of these things have place in our worship services. They're all about human personalities rather than Jesus. Christianity isn't about entertainment. Don't we forget about God when all of this takes place? Jesus said, "Take heed and do your charitable deeds before men. Do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." When people change their focus from God to self, they lose their reward and God's favor. Denying self means we're not the center of attention. Our job as Christians is supposed to be to glorify God. When people put on an act in worship, they're glorifying self rather than God. Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Denying self is a mindset. It means that God's in first place and we're last. Paul said, "If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory." Denying self also means putting others in a place of priority. Life is always harder for a self-centered person because they can't always get what they want. Selfish folks are often cruel and abusive. Jesus was never that way, and He wants His disciples to be kind and considerate of others. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 about how we're supposed to treat people. "Let nothing be done from selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interests of others." Denying self is so much more than just satisfying yourself and your own ego. Jesus is a perfect example of denying self. Going on in that same passage in Philippians chapter 2, it says, "And I know you know this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Jesus, the Son of God, walked humbly and obediently. He showed us a better way than sinful pride. Those people that are selfish end up stepping on others, everyone around them, without any thought to the pain that they cause. Denying self means I become less like me and more like Jesus as I go through my daily walk. I mentioned this passage just as I got started, but Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." If I'm going to live the way God wants me to, then I've got to deny myself so that Jesus can come in and take over my life, or I need to allow Him to do so. I need to change my life, my heart, my mind, my actions, all of my behaviors. Have you denied yourself to follow Jesus? Denying self means that you're not today what you once were. There's a saying that I really like. It goes, "I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be." In Jesus, we become new and different people. Our hearts change and our values change. The person of sin has been crucified with Jesus, and we put Him on in the waters of baptism. Now, when do we put on Jesus? Well, in Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3, Paul wrote, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." When a person believes with all of his heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then they turn away from sin in an attitude of repentance, make the good confession of Jesus before men, and then are baptized so that their sins are washed away. And then they're no longer slaves to sin, but servants of God. If this is what you need to do, or if you need to come for any other reason, you have that opportunity now. Won't you come as we stand and sing?